Hi, I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lohan.
Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. On today's show, the health benefits of leafy green vegetables are widely known, but let's be honest, how much kale can you eat? Instead, you can reap the benefits of fresh greens by blending them with fruits for a day's worth of vegetables in one drink. A nutritionist and fitness expert who blogs about health for U.S. News & World Report introduces us to green drinks and green smoothies.
But first, whether you're an ingredient reader eager to know everything about the food you eat, or someone who ignores the federally mandated information that shows up on all packaged foods sold in the U.S., those nutrition labels are there for your health and well-being. And they've been on all packaged foods since the enactment of the Nutrition Labeling and Education Act of 1990. But if you've ever measured out a serving size, you know it's not reflective of how Americans actually eat.
And now, for the first time in nearly 25 years, the labels are getting a makeover. The FDA has proposed sweeping changes to help guide consumers in making better food choices. Joining us with an overview of the nutrition labels and the politics behind the changes is Tracy Fox, president of Food Nutrition and Policy Consultants based in Washington, D.C. She's an expert on federal nutrition policy and the legislative and regulatory process. Hi, Tracy. Welcome to Take Care. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Nutrition facts labels have been around for over 20 years, and now for the first time, according to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the agency is working on a makeover of the labels. But before we discuss some of those proposed changes with you, I wondered if you would talk about how effective these labels have been in helping consumers make more informed decisions. Overall, has the program been effective?
I would say, on balance, yes. The program's been effective in terms of doing what it was intended to do, and that is to provide, you know, some basic information to consumers so they can ideally make informed choices. I think oftentimes the label will be criticized as they came out in 20 years ago, and look, obesity rates are, you know, skyrocketing and eating habits have not improved. But I think that's because there's been too much pressure on having the food label solve a much larger complex issue in terms of eating habits. So, you know, the answer to your question is absolutely. I think they have been effective in raising awareness and doing what they were intended to do.
Most of us on the consumer end don't know what is involved in how people decide what the different levels should be that we should eat. In other words, the FDA is the overseer of the whole thing. But why don't you just quickly and give us a brief overview of the different groups that are involved that have to come to a consensus about what percentages are recommended in our daily eating?
Sure. So I think that the percentages can get complicated. And of course, there are, like you said, a number of agencies and entities that are sort of involved with helping to form the basis for what we see on the label. And I would say, first and foremost, the Institute of Medicine is an entity that really is tasked and has been tasked over the years with coming up with what is recommended in terms of the nutrients that Americans consume. So they come up with the recommendations on calcium, on potassium, on calories, on sodium, on a whole host of nutrients. So that really does form the basis for what then FDA looks at in terms of coming up with the percentages that you see on the food label. And I would say the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee, which is a federally mandated committee that comes together every 5 years to update dietary guidelines for Americans, also play a role in helping to sort of interpret some of the more detailed, complicated numbers and make them a little more user-friendly for consumers. But I would say the basis of the label is the Institute of Medicine that sets the standards for specific nutrients, and then FDA, who would then take that information and decide how to interpret it for the food label.
Let me ask you this, though. Even I can't imagine the discussions that go on around the table when the Institute of Medicine is making their recommendations, because I know from all my own reading that you can take something like calcium or any other nutrient or vitamin, and there's just a wide range of opinions, even vitamin D, how much we should be getting in our daily diet. So does that become political also? Do you have insight into how they come to a consensus on even making the recommendations with basic vitamins?
Well, I've lived in Washington for 30 years, and it's hard to see any process that isn't political on some level. But I will say for the IOM, there's a very strong, rigorous evidence base that they are basically required to use as their deliberations, continue. It's like they really do have to look at research studies, peer-reviewed research studies, et cetera. So there may be a lot of opinions out there, like you said, and, go to any, restaurant or eating establishment or a friend's house, and you're going to get opinions on nutrition issues from A to Z. But I do know, and I've served on Institute of Medicine committees, and there is a very strong, rigorous process that committee members go through to review the literature, to review the peer-reviewed research, especially when it's coming to vitamins and minerals. So I would say the underpinning is certainly based on the strongest scientific evidence that's available at the time the committee's meeting and deliberating.
For anybody who's ever looked at a label and seen a serving size and actually measured out the portions, it is surprising. And I think the most striking thing might be, I once saw a demonstration of it with breakfast cereal. A person poured out exactly what he ate every morning, and then it was compared weight and volume-wise against the nutrition label, and it turned out that most people are eating two and a half times the serving size. Who determines this serving size? Is this the manufacturer? Is this the entities involved in determining the label itself? And do they really reflect what Americans eat?
I think they don't as much anymore, and that is one thing that I think many of us are looking forward to the Food and Drug Administration updating. But the actual serving size is based on reference amount commonly consumed. It's called a rack, and it really is based on, at least 20 years ago, what was considered a serving size for consumers. So I think you're absolutely right. That is an area that's in need of significant updating, and I think we're hopeful that that will be part of what comes out of FDA's proposal in terms of updating the food label, that those serving sizes are out of date, out of context, not reflective of what consumers are eating today, and they are in dire need of being updated.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
We're talking to Tracy Fox. Tracy's president of Food, Nutrition, and Policy Consultants based in Washington, D.C. And we're talking about those food nutrition labels on the food that you consume, and hopefully you look that over as you're making decisions. Linda brought up a portion size. And one thing, I mean, it's been a horrible thing when you're eating cookies and you think, how bad can this really be? And then it will say 160 and you think that must be 3 or 4. And they tell you that's one. The serving size is one cookie is 160 and you just ate 4. How much of a role does pressure from the manufacturer have? I feel like, and this is, reveals a paranoia, that they are doing that intentionally because they don't want to alienate their consumers. You think you're, using calories as an example, less calories, which of course makes you want to eat the product more. So my question is, what about the lobbyists and these manufacturers? Do they get a seat at the table when decisions are made on this kind of thing?
Well, I would say when it comes to the Nutrition Facts label, and you had raised the National the Nutrition Labeling and Education Act that was passed in the early 90s, it was really food and beverage manufacturers who came together and said, we want a standard set of labels, because they were tired of California passing one set and Maryland passing another and so-and-so passing another. So they were really instrumental in passage of the NLEA, the Nutrition Labeling and Education Act, back in the 90s. Now, that's not to say that they would probably like to, see the serving sizes benefit their particular product. But I think for the most part, the serving sizes, at least the rack, like I mentioned, the standard serving size that FDA uses to base the label on is pretty much based on, at that point, consumer consumption trends. Now, again, I think that needs to be updated. But in terms of the manufacturers, if you look at FDA's regulations regarding what manufacturers have to do in order to label, it's pretty detailed, down to the font, down to the serving size, down to the, how things need to be listed. And so I do think that's fairly regulated. But that doesn't mean it's not going to be, up for negotiation. And I bet there's going to be a lot of discussion and basically food fights when the proposal, you know, when the proposed rules come out.
Well, as someone who reads labels constantly, I mean, you pointed out even the font is regulated. And I never really thought about that, but it's true. It's very uniform. I know that what I'm reading, at least I feel it will be accurate. And I also see, too, that there has been a drift. In other words, it's not just packaged foods anymore, but many, many, many fast foods, restaurants and other places are coming up with these nutrition facts to help us make smarter decisions. Are we, in fact, making better decisions, and is there evidence that people are changing eating habits because of this?
Well, I think we are seeing some shifts and trends. Certainly, obesity rates we have seen in recent years a little bit of a leveling off among adults, and certain pockets of children they are decreasing or leveling off as well. Now, that's big macro, you know, and I think I mentioned at the beginning of the discussion that there are a lot of factors that go into obesity rates, and it's not just the food labels. But I do think we are seeing consumers more aware, whether it's because of, like you said, we do have more restaurants and fast food establishments across the country that are choosing to do calorie labeling at point of purchase. We also do have, you know, as part of the Let's Move initiative, there are a lot of efforts underway in schools, in restaurants, in hospitals across the country. So I think, and with healthcare reform, we've seen a lot more emphasis on prevention. And I think a large part of the healthcare savings are going to come from preventing diseases like obesity and diabetes that are directly tied to diet and physical activity. So I think there's just been a lot more discussion about the importance of prevention, and prevention means healthy eating and physical activity. So because of that, it almost like triggers people to then think, okay, what is in the food I'm eating? So I do think that we are seeing at least some signs of progress in certain areas, that the labels, you know, can be a part of that, but there are a lot of other factors too.
I know it may be a year or two before we actually see the revamped version of the label. Can you give us a sneak peek into what you think they're looking at, what changes are going to be made that will be obvious to us as the consumers?
Well, I think you're being really optimistic and thinking that it'll be a year or two. My understanding is that they haven't come out, obviously, with the proposed regulation yet, and the process kind of follows that FDA will propose a regulation, and they have an open comment period for anybody, you, me, manufacturers, food and beverage companies, to comment on what FDA has proposed. And that comment period is anywhere from 90 days to, in the case of something like this, it's pretty significant. They may give it up to 120 days comment period, and then FDA has to go back and consider and analyze those comments and come up with a final rule. And then they will probably have a fairly, I don't want to say lengthy, but there will be some phase-in period. So I would say, just to kind of level set, it's probably going to be at least 2, maybe 3 years before we see updated labels. I think what we might be able to see, hopefully, is the point that you brought up, and it's a really good one, is let's relook at the serving sizes. What is considered a serving size? Is it one cookie, or should it be more realistically 3 or 4 cookies, and then just be clear with the calories, how much is in the serving size? I think what you also might see is a little more prominence of the calories. Right now, it's not it's not pretty bold. It's just kind of like you said, it kind of is listed along with all the other nutrients. We might see that stand out a little bit more. There may be, I know there's a lot of interest in breaking out the total sugars to include added sugars. So we might see some of that change as well. There may be a different set of nutrients that are required to be listed, and those would be nutrients of concern to Americans. So potassium, fiber, calcium, vitamin D may be given a little more prominence because those are nutrients that the Dietary Guidelines Committee and others have identified as nutrients of concern. And I don't know, I also hope that there is a kind of a dual column approach. And so what that would mean is, for one serving size, you get one set of nutrition facts for the entire package. To your point, whether it's a box of cereal or an entire package of cookies, you'd see nutrition information for the entire package. And I think that would really help consumers, have a better picture of what they're consuming.
Tracy Fox is president of Food, Nutrition, and Policy Consultants based in Washington, D.C. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
For more information on nutrition labels and Tracy Fox, visit the Take Care webpage at WRVO.org. If you've missed a past interview or you'd like to hear one again, podcasts of our show are also available at our website and on iTunes.
Coming up, don't eat your veggies, drink them. Learn how to combine fruits and vegetables for a tasty and nutritious green smoothie. You're listening to Take Care on WRVO Public Media.